As you are being seated, I would remember the clamshell of baptism and remind you that you are in this world for a purpose. And you may not yet know what that purpose is. No matter. You were baptized and claimed by the love of God. If you weren't ever baptized, then perhaps you're yet to be, if in affirming your faith in Christ, but I suspect most of us here have been baptized. God put you in the world for a reason, just as God put this church in this world for a reason, and we're living that out as we come and worship this day. And so I would ask that as we gather here this morning, we ask God's blessing upon the reading and hearing of the Word, a Word that is particularly appropriate for the fourth Sunday in Advent. You see, the fourth Sunday banner is glory. There's something of God's glory about the story we read and the way we understand the Word working in us to be people of hope. Hope is a word that is part of the Advent wreath lighting, and we began with hope. Hope and then peace and then love and then joy. And so somehow hope and joy and glory all work together. And we would pray that God would open our minds and hearts as we begin the reading of an important story for us as a congregation. Let us pray. Lord, this day we thank you for these children that have come forward. We thank you for the ways that most of us here were baptized as children and claimed as your own. We're grateful for the ways that we're people of purpose, and maybe we're still discovering our purpose in life at a new episode in our lives. We pray the blessing, your blessing on this story, that we would be alive to all the ways you teach us to love one another and to love you and to love our neighbor. Guide us as we relive this story anew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, Now, here is a story that is going to be played out in front of our very ears and eyes. Mary and Elizabeth are two women of two different generations who are expecting children. And what you have begun to hear is two women in different communities who've begun to recognize that they have around them a community. And they have a connection now, community and connection. Mary is soon to be the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth is soon to be the mother of John the Baptist. One is the messenger, John is the messenger, and Jesus is the message. And Mary is fed up with defending herself and answering questions of chatty neighbors and cousins who want to gossip about her and think the worst. If you read back a bit in chapter 1 of Luke, you will hear Mary saying, or the angel saying to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, you can imagine someone in Mary's world saying, I knew someone once who, for whom the power from on high came upon them, but they didn't call their child the Son of God. They called him something else. I suspect there was around Mary chatty cousins and gossipy people who made life hellacious for Mary. And so Mary needed to leave Galilee and go see Elizabeth, whom she knew probably by family connections, down in a little town that has come to be known as Ein Kerem. It's west of Jerusalem, some 20 or 30 miles. Don't know how Mary got there, but she went the distance. She got there, and upon Mary's arrival in front of Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth's body gives her a kick. I suspect there are a few mothers in this room who have some baby kick stories at pertinent times in their lives who remembered a little one about to be born, but not yet. And so Elizabeth, just as we heard, Elizabeth becomes a prophet. She's speaking the word of God. She's speaking a word of encouragement. She's speaking a word of commission for the young Virgin Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Do you know what it is to be blessed? Have you ever been to Target or Harris Teeter and you ask the cashier, how are you doing today? And the cashier says, I'm blessed. Or if you're like me, I was here waiting in the office with Jen the other afternoon and the FedEx guy came and brought us two chairs that some folks have donated to our church. And as he left, he said, have a blessed day. Now, you've heard people say that. And you wonder, what are they talking about? Well, the word bless comes from the Old English word bledsian. It comes from the Northumbrian word bloodsian, to consecrate by a religious rite, to make holy, to give thanks, from the proto-Germanic language blodison, which means hallowed with blood, marked with blood. Originally a sprinkling of blood on pagan altars. But we're not talking about pagans. We're talking about most likely Christian people who are using the word blessed. And so bless is actually endowed or favored. Perhaps in your home, as in mine, we often pray, bless this food to our use and us in thy service. Do you ever pray that prayer? Or one similar to it. Lord, bless the food. We thank you for it. I suspect when people speak about being blessed, it means God has chosen to show me grace. God has been kind in my life. And to use Paul's language in Colossians, God has taken me from a kingdom of darkness and brought me into a kingdom of light by giving me faith in Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes when I hear someone like a cashier or the FedEx guy saying, have a blessed day, I suspect there's behind that a measure of faith and understanding that I hope God is favoring you and working in your life with grace and kindness and favor. Well, clearly the business of blessing is important to Jesus. And in fact, his blessing seemed to turn the world upside down. Jesus came on the scene in two different places in the New Testament and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you. Who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Isn't it logical that the person who comes into the world preaching such ideas, isn't it logical that the person that delivers this little one would be blessed? That's the story that we're hearing just now from the Gospel of Luke. And so Elizabeth confers on Mary a certain job, a certain vacation, a calling. She's favored by God. And then Mary responds with an announcement. It's called the Magnificat. It's called that because in the Latin, in one of the early translations of Scripture, Mary uses the word magnifies the Lord. And the word magnify is Magnificat. And so Elizabeth has encouraged Mary, and recognizing her role, she is empowered to share bold words in a powerful way to announce good news. Now, the verses that Mary will share need to be heard through the Gospel of Luke. But through the Gospel of Luke, you hear Jesus talking about money and wealth and poverty and riches more often than any of the other four Gospels. And we have to turn to stories of the rich ruler and Zacchaeus to begin to understand what the wealthy and the rich are to do with their money. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's important that we pause, having heard Elizabeth's words. It's important that we pause and hear Mary's words. And so I would ask you, if you're interested, to open your pew Bibles, the ones that are you can find under your seat. We may not have pew Bibles for everyone because different things happen to these Good News Bibles. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1 so that we can hear this Magnificat being shared with us by Mary. I've asked Jana Hicks if she would stand and read Mary's words to us. Pay attention to the good news that Mary is announcing. Jana. This is the word of the Lord. Now pay attention to what you're hearing. We are listening to two marginalized human beings in the world of the ancient Near East. Two pregnant women of different generations, one conferring blessing and the other preparing the way for one who is the messenger of good news. They are sharing hope to a world that is often marginalized. I suspect there are some of you here this morning who may not have full faith in the faith of the church, in Jesus Christ. And it seems that you're kind of on the edge of things. I know there are people in my world just now who seem to be on the edge of things because of infirmities. Georgia and I have a friend who's now in the Carolinas Medical Center over in Mount Holly who had a stroke. His son has ALS. He's back in Shelby, and the mom is taking care of him with the help of some others. This Friday night, a number of you were part of the room, room at the inn. You are connecting yourselves to people who, many of them, probably in some ways were without hope. There are some in this church who may go with me this afternoon to deliver some toys to a woman who lives off Beatty's Ford Road. And some of you have gone shopping for her so that she can provide her 9-year-old grandson, Derek, toys for Christmas. How long does it take us to be a community of hope? What does it take for us to be people who are filled with the hope reflected in a Christmas tree or in the Advent wreath? It takes a while. It takes a while for us to realize that we are people who care about those who are grieving the loss of one of loved ones lost in death, that we are people of comfort, that we are people of peace and faith, not because of anything we've done, but because of the love of God made real in Jesus Christ. How long does it take us to remember that we are people who believe in the eternal, infinite God who answers prayer? We do that every Sunday morning. And just now, there may be people in your mind and heart and in your life for whom you want to pray. As soon as we finish this message, it'll be important that you raise your hand and we'll say, well, I have a cousin, I have a friend, I have a brother, I have someone who needs our prayers. When we do that, we're a community of hope. That what we see in this life isn't all there is, but we believe that God has come in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is in us and working through us. I don't know how prayer works, neither do you, but we believe God answers prayer, and we believe that God is somehow working his way in the world with peace and compassion. God doesn't answer all our prayers the way we desire. There's some people who may feel that they're on the margins of this church, but here is our Savior who is about to be born, a Savior who is the embodiment of love in the world. You've heard of the expression, fake it till you make it. I would like to change that and say, act out until you can believe in. Maybe we need to act out Jesus' love until we can believe in him. Some of us, I think, want to know with scientific certainty that Jesus was raised from the dead, scientific certainty that Jesus walked on water, that the miracles of the Gospels are true. Well, I can't convince you that miracles are true. But I do believe you and I can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that moved Paul to say, love is patient, love is kind, love is not irritable or boastful or rude, love does not insist on its own way. Many believed Paul was thinking of Jesus. If we can act out of that love, we may begin to believe in the Savior who brought it to the world. Sometimes we wonder, will we ever get people to be part of this church with us? And I would say, isn't it important we understand what it is to have hope? What would it mean for us to become a church who listens to those who are on the margins of this world? That's what Mary was talking about in her Magnificat. The development of hope within a community takes time, and all of us want our small stories connected to God's larger story. Can you and I not be listening to one another? Can we not sit with one another and be present with one another in all the challenges and issues and episodes of life so that somehow together we can connect our story with God's larger story? I believe that's how we become a community of hope. You see, there's a power in hope. And just now in the world, just now in our culture, just now in our church, we would want to be people of hope. And so we hear the story of Mary and Elizabeth. two women who were perhaps struggling with their pregnancies, and they found one another, and they became for each other a source of the glory of God. They became for each other a way to encourage each other. They became a fellowship. And as Elizabeth encouraged her younger Mary, Mary offered a word of good news that comes before the good news of the gospel and prepares the way. I don't know what the future holds for this church, but I do believe as we live in to being a community of hope for one another, for Renita Martin, who lives down near Johnson C. Smith University, and her grandson Derek, as we seek to be a community of hope for all those people on your mind and heart for whom we'll pray today, as we are a community of hope for those who are grieving, not just family that we've lost recently, but family that we've lost in the last year or two or three or five. As we are the community of hope that God longs for us to be in Christ, then we understand the importance of the power of hope just now. May it be so. May it be so that we are patient with this time in our lives and patient with one another, that we can be the people God has for us to be. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, this day we thank you for Mary and Elizabeth, two marginalized human beings in a time of military occupation and power, just as the world has always known. We thank you for the good news that was being shared from one to the other. And we are recipients of that good news as the church. Allow us to hear the message of the Christmas season. Allow us to recognize we've been given much as human beings, as people who seek to follow Jesus Christ. Allow us increasingly, Lord, to be that community of hope, not only for our friend's room at the inn, not only for Ms. Martin and her mother and daughter and grandson, but for others, our neighbors, and all through this community and beyond. Allow us to understand the power you've given us in Jesus Christ. We pray this morning in his name. Amen.